Good morning, everybody. We are continuing in the book of Matthew today with Matthew chapter 14, and I will read that for us. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people, because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter." And the king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. He sent and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now, when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over, and those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the 4th watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." And when they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent around to all that region and brought to him all who were sick and implored him that they might only touch the fringe of his garment. And as many touched it were made well. Amen. The account of Jesus walking on water is one that many of us probably know quite well. For me personally, it's been a story I've seen told countless times, through everything from Sunday school drawings to college retreat skits. And while the central focus is certainly on Jesus coming to the disciples, who are in the middle of the sea, quieting the wind and the waves, great emphasis is also placed on Peter in the story. And very often, we tend to look at Peter in kind of a negative light, which I always thought was a little unfair. Peter certainly has his faults. He's boisterous and dramatic, among other things. But to hold it against him to be fearful of standing on top of the sea while storm-level winds and waves were howling and crashing all around him, perhaps we're a little harsh on the guy. Of course, Peter does lack faith in this instance. Jesus himself chastises Peter for allowing his fear of the situation to override his trust in his rabbi. Even after just having seen Jesus heal many sick and feed likely over 10,000 people with just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and even having just experienced stepping foot on water, Peter still doubts and worries that Jesus is not enough. But if you and I are honest with ourselves, life and faith tend to happen that way in reality. Our faith journey is not a linear, steadily increasing graph after all, where once we experience God's provision and miracles at a certain level, we never doubt at that level again. Of course not. We can witness his mighty hand working in our lives, only to find ourselves unsure and worried soon enough. That's the reality of our fickle, immature nature, that as long as we live, we will have to constantly learn and relearn how to trust in the Lord in the face of adversity. But when we examine this moment between Peter and Jesus, when Peter starts to sink into the sea, as much as we see Peter's lack of faith, we also see Jesus's abundance of grace. Jesus doesn't just watch Peter sink and shake his head and say, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" No, we see that Jesus immediately reaches out to Peter. He takes hold of him. He brings him back into the boat. Yes, perhaps Jesus felt that tinge of disappointment when he saw Peter falter. Maybe there was that moment of, "Oh, he was so close," that kind of feeling. But I think Jesus also felt that excitement and that joy when he heard Peter say, "Lord, command me to come to you on the water." Jesus, called to me and let me walk on top of the sea to you like I know you're able to command me to. It wasn't perfect, but in that moment, Peter demonstrated a desire to have faith, to grow in his trust in Jesus and his power. And I think Jesus was pleased at the heart shown by Peter. Every now and then at our church, we reference John Ortberg's book, which is aptly titled, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat." If you want to walk on water, if you want to experience God's miracles, experience the kingdom of heaven through a life lived intimately and radically with Jesus, you've got to get out of the boat. You've got to take that step of faith out onto the water. Peter didn't have enough faith to make it all the way from the boat to Jesus. But he had enough faith to get out of the boat. He had enough faith to ask Jesus to command him to step out. He had enough faith to take just a few steps. And that's a start. For us, as we seek to grow in trusting Jesus and pursuing him and experiencing the kingdom of heaven here on earth, it can be difficult at times to commit to that next step in our faith. We might feel that big conviction sometimes to make a change or to give something up or to take action, and we think, "I can't do that." But Jesus has grace for us in the meanwhile. He watches us as we take one step, then the next step, then the next step. We might try and fail, go up and down, forward and backward for a bit, and all the while, he has grace for us still. Let's take heart, knowing that our God is a God who will always beckon us toward him, who will always wait for us to take that next step, and who will always reach out and take hold of us and pick us up should we falter. Let's pray. Lord, would you empower us to continue to grow, to continue to identify the ways in which we can have greater faith? And would you give us the courage to take that step? Lord, it can be daunting at times. We can feel like the whole world is against us. But Lord, may we know that you are cheering us on, that you are there ready to catch us, and may that fill us with the confidence and the courage to take that step and that next step. Lord, at the same time, I pray that we have a correct understanding, that you're not a God who's just waiting for us at the end of that distance. You're waiting for us to get good enough to where we can span that gap and get to you. No, you're a God who will pick us up. You're a God who's watching us carefully so that when we try and when we fail, you will encourage us once again. You'll rejuvenate us. You'll bring us back to where we need to go. So Lord, may we trust in you. May that build our trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.